Hello, everyone. My name is Manny, compulsive overeater and food addict. My journey, my realization that I had issues with food started about 2, 3 years ago. I've always been someone who has tried to pay attention to my physical health. I've had a variety of trainers throughout the time, throughout the years, and my have tried all different, all the different diets, the keto, the, bodybuilder diet, and all the different things. And for some reason, it never was something that stood out to me until about 2 to 3 years ago, when my current trainer, we've been together now for about 2, 3 years, and I was kind of doing the yo-yo thing, and he put me on a plan, and but my body was never changing. And so one day we're in the middle of a training session, and he said something. He said, you have an interesting relationship with food. And I was like, in the middle of my training, that was like kind of, he never said anything like that before, never called me out, but it was just one of these things that became like, you ever gotten a pebble in your shoe? And you try to ignore it because it's just a small little thing. Well, that statement just became that pebble in my head for the next several months. We continued to train and stuff, and I didn't tell him how that statement had rocked me and what it was doing to me. So, because he said that, I started paying attention. And every time I note during that season, I noticed that every time I'd sit down to eat, there was this thought that I would have, you don't know when you're going to eat again. So you better eat everything on your plate. I didn't even have to be hungry, but if there was food presented to me, the thought would come, you don't know when you're going to have the opportunity to eat again. So you better eat now. So I said, huh, that's interesting. I don't come from a place of having food scarcity or, I've always had plenty of food around me. I'm not poor. I can go to the grocery store. I can have food delivered to me. I could pay somebody to make food for me whenever I want. It could be in the middle of the night and I have the wherewithal to. So why do you have this thought? You don't know when you're going to eat again when it's so accessible. That's interesting. Well, that was point number one. That's one of the things that stood out. You have an interesting relationship with food. I continue to pay attention. And the next thing that this was during COVID, the whole COVID season when, you were all locked up at home. And I remember because, things were locked up, one of the things that I would do was order food on DoorDash. And my go-to order at McDonald's was a number one. Anyway, I shouldn't have said that. I won't get into that. Anyway, I had this typical order from that restaurant. And one of the things I would do after I was done eating is I'd take all the packaging that was delivering and I would bury it. I'd take trash out of my kitchen trash can, and I would bury it at the bottom of the trash can. Or I would literally take the food, take the packaging, and go to the outside trash can and bury it there because I didn't want anybody to see it. Who was I trying to hide it from? My wife. But the thing was, this is DoorDash. She's going to see the digital transaction on the card, on the statement. We have one joint account. She sees it also. It's like, who are you fooling? Why are you jumping through these hoops to try to hide something when you know she's going to find out? And so I said, man, you really do have this interesting relationship with food. Why are you doing this? Well, finally, there was this other time where this was that was the second thing. The third thing that tipped me off, and this was the final thing that tipped me off that I had an interesting relationship with food. Was again during the whole COVID season, there was this particular coffee shop that I had my go-to order. And every time I would go to this place, I'd have my items that I wanted. And one day my wife said, hey, she wasn't calling me out or being ugly about it. You know, she said, hey, you know, you've been to this place and placed the same order every day this month. I said, come on now, you serious? No, there's no way. Every day? She said, yeah, just look at the app. It's the same amount every day, totaled up to be a little bit over $300. And it wasn't the, again, it wasn't the issue with the money or anything like that. She just was just making the observation. So I kind of ignored that and swept it under the rug. But there came a day, because again, this was COVID, and COVID had, during COVID, they had curtailed their inventory. And as things started keeping back up, they were having trouble keeping up with inventory. So I remember one day I placed my order at my normal location that I would order from, and they didn't have my items. So then I went to the next closest location of this coffee shop. They didn't have my items. I went to the next locate closest location. I went to every location from Carmel to Marina looking for my items, and none of these coffee shops had them. So then I ended up scratching my itch with these items from a gas station. And I said, you know what you just did? You just spent all this time driving around. This is not normal. You do have an interesting relationship with food. So, you know, I said, wow. So I started researching food addiction. I started researching eating disorders. And I came across on the internet the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and Overeaters Anonymous and how they would use this thing. So I ordered it on Audible and I started listening to it as I was driving around. And every time they mentioned the word alcohol, insert the word food, every time they mentioned the word alcoholic, I would see myself. I was like, am I an addict? No way. So I found out that they had a local OA meeting. This is the Thursday night meeting that happens over at St. Timothy in Monterey. And I just started eavesdropping, going to that meeting, just listening, not just, you know, kind of a wanted to be a fly in the wall, not committing to anything. And little by little, I began to see, and it finally came one day, yep, you have an issue. So I threw everything in the kitchen sink, this thing. I ended up finding a sponsor and got a continued to attend the OA meetings, not just the Thursday night meetings, but the there's one that ha there's a call-in one that happens every morning on our side. It's at 4 a.m. Something to you or something like that. I forget what it's called. And you call in and listen to it. It's a big book study. Going to this Thursday, working with a sponsor, got a therapist as well, and continue working with my trainer. And during this season, there were some things that came up as I was addressing my issue, my relationship with food, and they all flowed out of the first three steps. And the key theme in those first three steps was the issue of power. You know them. We just read them. You know, we're powerless over food. We've come to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us. Made a decision to turn over our will or the power of our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. And as I was meditating upon what I was going through, the lessons that I was learning from my sponsor, the you know, continuing to talk everything, you know, I would train with my trainer and continue to talk these things through with him. I realized, you know, the food and the weight, those were just side effects of a deeper issue going on inside of my soul. And one of the things that I saw as I looked at these three steps and what I was going through was that I was out of alignment with God. I had let something else take the place of his strength and the guidance that he would give me. And so, as I was journaling through this season, just capturing my thoughts, the things I was going through, the experiences, what I was feeling, leaning into this spiritual program. I'm going to read you some of the excerpts from my journal. And I call these kind of my, what do I call them? These are my declaration statements. These all didn't come to me at once, but they came to me throughout the early days of my journey. And the first one says this: food is not my problem. I came to identify that food wasn't my problem, but that I had been deceived and had willingly allowed myself to keep being deceived. The root of my problem is that food had become my master. It had replaced God. I have become its slave and the dining table, the altar where I worship. And that's really what food was. The reason why is I was relinquishing control over to food. And anytime I wanted it, I would get it. I had no control over it at all. It was controlling me. The feelings and the desires, the triggers, the way I would describe it and how I'd eat and the obsession in my mind. Every time I ate, I was relinquishing control to food instead of giving it to God. The second statement that came to me one day during this journey was, I want to be the kind of man who surrenders what I eat to God in worship of Him. Number three, it's not a matter of eating less. It was a matter of worshiping less at the wrong altar. Number four, I want my meal times to be a form of worshiping God, not worshiping food or the feelings of pleasure or relief that food gives me. I started noticing that, I would eat when I was hungry, but I would find any reason to eat. If I wanted to feel happy, I would eat. If I was sad and I wanted to push back against the sadness or the depression, if I wanted to be relieve my stress after a hard day of work, even after a good workout, I would have a great workout with my trainer and I would find an excuse. I'd say, you know what? You worked out so hard, you need a reward. And so I'll reward myself with some food, totally undoing the work that I had just done. And so my meal times, I wanted them to be a form of something that directed me towards God, not distracted me from God and became my God. Five, food is pleasurable. These are all things that are in my journal. You know, throughout these early days, as I'm working with my sponsor, interacting with the big book, meeting with my therapist, my trainer, as I'm searching my soul about the changes that are happening in me. This was the fifth thing that came to me, not all at one time, but the fifth one was food is pleasurable. The variety of tastes and textures and smells of food are gifts from God for me to nourish my body and to enjoy. However, I'm not just a physical being. I'm primarily a spiritual being that possesses a body that I'm responsible to control. And so I want God to be my ultimate reward. I want God to be my ultimate pleasure, not food. Number six, I remember one day I'd gotten off of work, and it was a stressful day. Nothing ugly had happened, but the nature of my job is I'm in high stakes conversations all day. People come to me looking for advice and input, and they make life decisions based upon, things that I say. So there's a lot of pressure and a lot of, I have to be real careful that I don't own it. But I realize, hey, I'm just here to give them my best and then release it. But it was had just been a stressed day, and I remember pulling out of work and every time I passed by one of those local coffee shops that I would visit and get my substance of choice. And it was a stressful day. And I remember throwing up this prayer: God, I want you to be my stress reliever, not what I get there. So that was number six. I want God to be my stress reliever, not food. Seven, this one was in a moment of true vulnerability. I no longer want to be enslaved and obsessed with food and mastered by the pleasure it gives me. It has not been a good master. God is a much better master. That one really arrested me because that's what I was doing. I was relinquishing control, allowing food to enslave me. And there came a point where I no longer had control. It was now controlling me. But one of the interesting thing is that once I broke off that chain of enslavement to food and coupled myself to my higher power, God, he was a much better master. I've experienced freedom. I have true freedom now. God is a much better master than food ever was. And then finally, the last one, this was my last, what did I call them? My last declaration statement. Failure is disengaging from God. Not being perfect is not failure. And so redefining what failure looked like. That, of course, there would be moments where the temptation was there and I would want to eat. I remember there was a time where I did relapse, and but redefining that okay, you relapsed, that's not failure. Failure is if you disengage from this spiritual process and then this spiritual journey that God has you on in redefining your relationship with food. It's no longer your master, he is your master. He's been a much better master. So those statements kind of have became kind of a prayer for me. I kind of compiled all those statements, and again, this is from my journal of my journey with food. And I don't necessarily pray this prayer all the time, but I remember one day as I'm now year, maybe a year and a half old, out of the beginning stages of my abstinence journey. And I wrote this prayer. And so I'm just going to read it to you. Hopefully it's encouraging to you. And this is out of my journal. Heavenly Father, God, I come before you recognizing that food is not my true problem. I've been deceived. And I've willingly allowed myself to be deceived. Food has become my master, and I have worshiped at the dining table, forgetting that you alone are worthy of my worship. I ask for your forgiveness and for the strength to break free from this bondage. I desire to be a man who surrenders what I eat, how much I eat, and when I eat, all as an act of worship to you. Because that's really what it was. It was a misplacement of my loyalties, of my affections. And I had to reorient. Wait, who do I want to worship? Who do I want to surrender to? Food? It hasn't been a good master. God is a much better master. He's given me freedom. Help me, Lord, to honor you with every decision I make about food. Teach me that this battle isn't about eating less, but about worshiping less at the wrong altar. Redirect my heart to worship you alone. God, let my mealtime be moments of true worship where I glorify you, not food or the fleeting feelings of pleasure or relief that it brings. I acknowledge that the variety of tastes and textures and smells of food are gifts from you to nourish my body. And I want to enjoy them with gratitude, but not to let them control me. Remind me that I am not merely a physical being, but primarily a spiritual being. My body is a temple, and I want to honor you by controlling it. I declare that you are my ultimate reward and pleasure, not food. I long to be nourished by your presence and truth. You are the bread of life. I come to you believing that you will satisfy every hunger and every thirst I have. God, in moments of stress and anxiety, let me run to you and not food. Be my comfort, my refuge, and my stress reliever. Break the chains of obsession and enslavement that food has over me. I know that food has been a poor master, but you are the best master I could ever have. I want to serve you and you alone. Finally, God, remind me that failure isn't about being imperfect, but about disengaging from you. And when I fall, help me to fall forward, closer to you. I place my trust in your grace and your power to help me overcome. Amen. And so that's been my journey with food. It really has been. As long as I am worshiping in the right direction and relinquishing control in the right direction rather than in the downward direction towards something inferior like food, I'm on point. I'm spiritually fit, if you will, to continue engaging in this battle. And with that, I close. Thank you for your attention and your time.